All right, welcome to episode 2 of Flats Mafia Podcast. We are here at West Coast Marine, and we have our buddy Graham Taylor is in the house that we're going to get into a lot of interesting talk. Graham's been a big-time tournament fisherman for years and a lifelong friend. You were one of the guys that kind of, we'll get into a little bit of that, how we first met through other people, but that's something that we can touch base. I am with James Garrison.
James.
And the big hoss, Justin LaForo. Episode 2, we're getting things ready. Graham kind of got on us, I'm not going to lie. I think we slacked a little bit by not having this cooler
feel. I didn't have it ready, man. Sorry.
I know. So, hey, what? So Graham's Southern like, hospitality. Graham's like, hey, I'm going to do a podcast. Wait, he shows up, leaves, comes back with a bottle of tequila, shot glasses.
Hey, that won't happen again. When our guest comes in, we're going
to
have it stocked.
Yes. Yeah, we should probably go to Costco and get a little.
I stocked it.
New
stocked
standards,
it
folks.
A long time ago, but as I came in and fixed things, I just started drinking them.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. There you have it.
They disappeared.
Graham, we're sorry.
That's all right.
But we do appreciate you bringing some tequila, getting the blood flowing.
It's
flowing. Yeah, please kind of introduce yourself and kind of give them a background of basically your whole career as a fisherman in the redfish industry.
Well, my journey is just about as similar as everybody else's. You know, it started young, grew up on a creek in Upper Pasco County, Central Pasco County. Started fishing.
Cue the hillbilly music.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. Cue the hillbilly.
Started fishing for the smallest bites, you know, and then always had a dream to catch the big ones. I just chased it. You know, so that's the reality of the story. To cut it to the.
All right. Well, tell me about your redfish career and the, you know, fishing tournaments and stuff.
Man, you know, so I was big into preparation. I was really big under the gun. I really liked to be on the clock. And have to perform when it mattered, and to me, that's what mattered to me. So I made it happen, and that's why, you know, I did what I did. So I was able to, you know, be the luckiest man on a certain day and have heaviest fish. And
you've been pretty successful at these tournaments as well.
I mean, I'm kind of like one of those guys that's done it for free. You know, I can't say I got rich, but I didn't pay to do it. You know,
yeah,
I was helped along the way and got to, you know, take some really big checks, really big prizes
in real redfish tournaments. We're not talking about the little local charity slams that we fished before.
No, I felt like
we're talking about legit.
Yeah. My 7-year journey. I mean, I started at the bottom with the Tampa Bay Redfish Tour. That was a local. You know, you could hop out of your boat and wade, and it was really fun. Really
still one of my favorites.
Awesome
still
camaraderie. One of my favorites. The dudes that started that legendary approach. And then I just worked my way up and tried to buy into the best stuff that I felt like the best anglers were involved with. And it's all changed over time. It's still evolving to this day. But, I mean, the bottom line is I just went out and prepared, and I learned about how fish, not just any fish. For me, it was, you know, fish that were making that transition into being offshore fish. So big heads, fish that were at that 27-inch mark that were, you know, a full pound ahead. So when you target that kind of fish, it kind of changes your results.
I hear that. Let me ask you this: with the tournaments and obviously you fished them, Texas, Louisiana. You fished plenty of tournaments out of state, in state. Like, what would you say? One was like one of your last, most recent favorite ones to fish, and
why were most recent? Give me the favorite.
Well, give me your favorite one. Yeah,
give
your
me the juice, oh, bro. Man, give me the juice.
The juice happened probably like a little over a year and a half ago, like 2 years ago in the fall. It was a transition in South Texas, a place I'd never been, which is crazy because that's what it's all about, is going places you've never been.
And fishing.
And you know, I'd driven 12, 13 miles to Louisiana, but I wanted to fish Texas. It was close to me, and my grandparents are buried out there. My dad fished coastal Texas. So I did. Me and a gentleman named Copeland Moore went. We drove like 18 hours basically to Mexico.
Good night.
and started to
I'm out.
And we started to figure it out, man, against, you know, 50, 60 just Texas legendary dudes. The culture there is unbelievable. They're all so united. Totally different than how we are here.
Yeah.
Everybody's just in it for everybody else. It's a big, you know, hey, man, like, nice to see you, bub.
Yeah, I remember you coming back from that tournament and talking about how tight they were.
It
and
was.
Like, if you needed a boat, a prop, a motor,
yeah, we
had your back.
We had engine trouble, right? We were running a hot alarm. A gentleman named Chuck McKinney, and I, we'd never met in our lives other than maybe a little respect out of finishing on the podiums and these events. You know, got us a boat, dude, backup boat. You know, that's unheard of, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of on the same agenda there, but we went deep into the ecosystem there and got rewarded. You know, made a big check in an area I'd never been to, earned a lot of respect around the Gulf of Mexico. So for me, that was, I think it was a PRL event, Professional Redfish League championship 2 years ago. And I haven't really fished. Well, I fished last year a little bit and made my way to, what was the...
that was 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was 2 years. Yeah. Last year was a Bassmasters event.
Bassmasters, that's what I was thinking of.
And that was kind of like a televised deal.
Is that something that's going to keep growing, you think? Or
I think that Yamaha and Skeeter and the right type of top level tier, you know, target purchasers for these type of like broadcasts when it's on TV are starting to get involved in the right direction, whether we have the unification, which has always been the problem. You know, there's a lot of participants, there's a lot of money being exchanged. It's just all going in these random directions. It's like a bunch of different carnivals set up all over the coast, you know, in different levels. And as soon as it's all refined and unified, there'll be an end game that's going to be worth it. But we'll see what the future holds.
We've talked about it all the time. Redfish is more of a regional. It's a regional term, even though you can catch them all the way up to what? Carolinas, right?
Yeah, coastal Carolinas, yeah. Virginia, North Carolina, big breeders.
For the corporate money, though, I feel like it's still viewed as a regional deal that they won't get all their, you know, the money out of it that they would on a bass tournament, if you will.
$8 billion a year industry.
Yeah.
For what?
For the pursuit of redfish.
Redfish is $8 billion?
Just redfish.
Wow.
So people really are like stomping on it because in the 80s.
Well, I mean, when you look at bass and you look at redfish, that's not even close, right?
Yeah. So
do you know the numbers for bass?
I don't. It's usually on, we're on like a 10% scale. So they've got the other 90% of the world.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, but the other 10% involves an $8 billion
10%
figure.
Is $8 billion is what you're saying.
Yeah. Chop that pie up.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they bass fish throughout the world, right? So if that's an $80 million, $100 billion industry, which fishing might be. Inshore fishing might be. I don't know. I don't know the numbers, but I know there's a lot of fishing poles. There's a lot of people buying stuff.
I mean, this is everything, the impact.
Yeah.
It goes down. Like, people don't even think about it. Goes down to the guy selling shrimp.
So what do you think? Everything's trickle down.
What do you think the
tourism, all of it.
Those boats now, you can get a carbon fiber boat with a Rotax 300 horsepower engine now made that goes 80 miles an hour on command to fly fish for redfish now. I mean, what do you want to do? You tell me there's not economic impact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where are we at?
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
But what do you think the biggest problem then has been to get a tour like MLF or one of the, you know, the Elite
Unification
series? Well, why has that been, though? What's the problem?
Well,
there?
The biggest thing is the pursuit of how you catch. So us, as you gravitate towards Florida, we have a more traditional approach of fishing, sight fishing off casting platforms. As you gravitate towards the Texas coast and Mississippi, or excuse me, Louisiana, they actually have perfected the ability of maneuvering their boats and their marksman casting. Like, it's not a fishing game, it's a casting game. So where do you draw the line on what we're doing? So technology always is the you know, catch 22 and anything that happens in this world. So they've maneuvered these shallow draft boats that can hump fish, chase them down, and actually, like, when you throw it in front of their face and the matrix is complete and they see it drop in front of their face, it's genetically instinctual. So these guys are perfect at it. So I went there. I lost to the guys. I was the only one at the end of this tournament in Texas that was fishing traditionally. I was sight fishing, you know, a long edge that had pocket grass. It was just like me back home on the South Shore. And I was doing it just the way I knew how, but the guys that were really doing it were doing it with their engines and towers and precision casting with bait casters. And I got schooled, and there has to be a line that's drawn, because I travel across the country with raw ability and got beat by technology. So there's a intersection that has to be divided. And for them, they don't want to come this way because they don't want to fish.
They can't do that. They can't do that shit over here.
No, the Fish Act.
No.
Yeah, the Fish Act, totally different.
Tell them, Justin.
I see where you were about to go with it. I'll say it.
Yeah,
you can't do
in.
That shit over here. You're not going to run on your motor. and stand on your 8-foot casting platform and throw a bait caster in front of a redfish in Tampa.
No.
They're not going to eat it.
It's not going to happen.
Nah.
Well, so, they say as you get past the Mississippi, they get really, really crazy genetic, like into it, like it's a matrix. If they see it, they eat it.
I believe it.
And if they
hear it, I believe it.
If they hear it, they turn around. You throw them a hot dog, you know?
That's why everybody always said, you
I'll
know,
take
you
a hot
can,
dog.
You can, and Louisiana, it's been like that for us. The time we went with Graham. One episode, I actually made two out of it.
Yeah.
Well, got my PB redfish there.
That's right.
I remember that.
Yeah. Big, heavy Chevy.
I think there's a lot of truth in the fact that if you can be successful here, you know, not just Tampa, but the surrounding areas, throwing artificials, there's not many places you can't go and figure it out.
That's very true.
Give yourself enough time.
Yeah.
Answer me this. In a lot of the I think it's the Power Pole Redfish series, a lot of Tampa guys have won that when it's in Louisiana. All the championships are always in Louisiana, right?
Yeah, for some reason we go there because the fishing's supposed to be so great, but it's honestly been on decline because
What I'm saying, though, is Tampa guys...
Oh, we've always performed there. I
mean, Tampa guys
first time
show
I pulled
out.
In there, I was like, are you kidding me? This is where they have fishing tournaments?
You, Ryan Rickard, even Leto, Drangle.
I pulled around the corner.
I mean, all these guys.
I was like, oh, you're here, we'll fish here.
Pull around the we're going to go here, boys. Fish right here.
That's how it used to be. Now you got to make big runs. Last time I made any money there, I went 3 hours one direction. Wow. 3 hours back.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you. So,
would you hold it real quick? How long did you fish for?
Oh, dude, I got two-hour window. Wow. Me and Copeland thumped them, though. It was the greatest time.
So
there's a fairy pond.
There's a lot of people who have aspirations of being redfish anglers, right? And they don't realize how much time and effort get put into something like that.
Yeah, I've been fortunate, man. I was a guide. I got to see how these fish act. I know about their life in the water column. I mean, I'll break it down simple for you. Like, there's predators, there's sharks, there's porpoises. I mean, they live in a depth that gets them away from those two things. And then, here comes number three. The dude that knows how to fish.
The dude, man, the dude.
So keep that in your back pocket. You know, if you're ever thinking like a fish, know that in 12 inches of water, they can get eaten. In 10 inches, they can't.
So that's the thought behind the water aspect. But what about the prep and the planning it takes to actually go with logistics for
it
you?
It is. I used to
prep time.
You know, I'd have a 5-day schedule. It's like going to a normal job. You know, when I was fishing at the highest levels, you're on the water at sun up and you fish until your pattern is over.
What time before? Like, if the tournament's on a Saturday, how long before are you pre-fishing?
It's weird. I was there trying to, you know, when I didn't have full funding, I was emulating the patterns weeks beforehand. So I get up there on the same tidal coefficiencies.
You're trying to find the same
this
tide.
This one I was on my own. I would come 2 weeks before.
Dumb this down a little bit.
All right. So
dumb it down.
Basically,
you're fishing
moon,
the same tide,
moon. So the moon happens full and then
We need to let people know what we're talking about here.
All right. So the water level is affected by this weird piece of cheese that's off of the edge of the earth about how far?
No, look. Yeah.
We know what the moon. Everybody knows what the moon
we
is.
We got that. But what I'm saying is, what you just said, I'm trying to make it explainable so it's
all
understood.
Right. In a 2-week pattern, it's going to replicate itself. So
there
You're looking at a turnaround of replication.
So you can't go. What I'm saying is, if the tournament's on a Saturday, you can't go on the Thursday and think you're going to get this. Well, it's going to be kind of close, but you're going to get a time frame before that. You want to get the exact.
Yeah, things happen in windows. All my bites happen in a 2-hour window. I mean, there's times that I've sat around and told jokes and learned stuff from people and, you know, really enjoyed the boat camaraderie
you don't like fishing with the guy you're on.
No,
the boat.
I won't get on a boat if I don't like the
not
fella.
In a tournament. You're not.
Never.
No,
never, never.
That's a long day, bro.
There's plenty of people that have.
Yeah.
If you're on a boat with a guy for a tournament, for a 2-day tournament at that, and you're not really familiar with them, and it turns out you don't like them, that's a long.
Well, I don't think that's what people understand either. Is how much it costs to actually do it right, and how much time that is.
Right. So he's saying he's there 2 weeks beforehand.
No, I was not. I would go there when I was funded on my own and independent, and replicate 2 weeks beforehand. So you can go those Fridays and Saturdays 2 weeks beforehand, have the same window within a couple inches to measure the window of opportunity that you're going to get to pounce. Right. And then if you don't get there the full week beforehand, because the winner is going to be there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, watching that window opportunity. You know, I've sat on a dozen fish before because I knew if I got the two right bites, you know, in the 2 hour window, like it didn't matter what anybody else did.
Yeah.
I was bringing the weight.
You're there for quality.
Exactly.
Not quantity.
Yeah. So a lot of these guys are just getting in, you know, because they learn how to catch a redfish, and that's awesome because I've been there and I love that spirit, and that's the heart of being a fisherman. It's because you never know what's going to happen. That's the honesty.
So I'll break it down to you like this. The only few tournaments that I actually fished a couple years ago, a year ago, whatever it was, for real, we went up. Like, we tried to do 5 days ahead of time.
You went in Whitfield,
yeah.
Timmy?
Yeah.
We went to Jacksonville. I remember seeing you.
We went St. Augustine. 5 days ahead of time. Between the fuel every day, the missed time at work or whatever you're doing.
You're missing work. You're taking time off away from your family.
I didn't want to have to deal with a bunch of stuff going in and out, and so I ended up at a place on the water there. So I don't even want to see what
that was. Of course you did, Aussie.
Yeah. You got to eat. You got to have some fun. Long story short, you know, you got a couple grand.
At minimum.
Off the rip, not including fees to get into the thing.
Right.
Scared money don't make money.
So I hear you. So $3,000, you're sitting there saying, shit, I hope something happens.
Yeah.
And
sometimes this is a place you've never been to.
I've never been there.
So that's why you're there for 5 days. You're learning it. The first day or two is probably garbage.
We went there ahead of time because we kept hearing about these tidal swings. And over here, we're just not used to these 4 or 5 foot
king tide.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I found that I like to fish over there when it is low as you can get it.
Where was that?
Jacksonville. St. Augustine really is where we were.
Super low. You like it?
I want it at the bottom. I want to not be able to get out.
That's just like Tampa. I mean,
it's up easy there. To find them.
Yeah.
When it's low.
Yeah. It's a lot easier get to yourself, find them when it's low.
But the problem with that is we wanted to go because we didn't know the timing. I don't know how the wind, you know, reacts to the tide there. And we did. Our first 2 days, we were pushing football fields.
Out of the boat, pushing the boat.
Yeah, the GTS, which is not easily pushed, as you know. Just,
hey, man, don't call me. I get
just,
it.
Just pushing. So
sometimes you got to push, man. If you're not getting stuck, sometimes you're not getting shallow enough.
Yeah, well, we were getting shallow enough. But long and short of it is the money and time, if you were to do that times 5-6 tournaments, you got to own your own company or be independently wealthy or
have legit sponsors that just give you a bunch of money.
Have legit sponsors that are okay with here's 15, 20 grand to get you. That's your break.
You got to lodge yourself for a week.
And people
beforehand.
Say, oh, you fished for 5-6 days. Not when you're in that mentality from sunup to sundown to try and find fish. I got to tell you, it's enjoyable, but it's not as enjoyable as you would think.
Right. Because people look at pictures and they think it's great.
All you're doing is running.
Yeah,
you're checking. You're running. I lean on a couple people to figure out where I'm going. Him being one of them. But well,
the secret is not getting that attitude. Like you can see everything slow down.
Yeah,
and get way better at where you're at if you get there and you work in tractor gear.
And it's common sense. A lot of it. People overthink the shit out of this stuff.
Oh yeah.
You got to have bait. You got to see. In my opinion, you have to see fish. If you're not seeing fish. You got to roll, man.
Well, if you don't see fish and you're not catching a fish, yeah.
Yeah, but you'll see people beat a bank all day long that they were at 2 days ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll see them. Tournament guys, too, they will beat a shoreline up because they caught them there 2 days ago.
Right, but what I'm saying is, so you're there a week. You got to plan a week vacation for this, right? On your normal
vacation.
Job. Huh?
Yeah, vacation.
Vacation, yeah.
That's.
You got to lodge yourself for the week.
That's correct.
You got to spend the money on gas to drive up there, gas throughout the week.
Yep.
You got to pay the fees to get in.
Yep.
You got to buy the tackle to do it right. I mean, yep. You have sponsors for some of this stuff, but this is not a, you know, hey, everybody chip in $100 and
nah,
let's go.
It's recreation. No, man.
This is
a lifestyle.
It's expensive to do this kind of stuff.
You got
to
be willing to lose. I never tried to do it to
how
make
many,
money.
How many people are winning out of the – there's a field. There's a field of 50. Are they the same type of guys that
if
are winning every time?
If I pull up and there's 50 guys, man, there's 10 guys I worry about. You know, maybe 5 when it really boils down to it. I mean, it's weird. There's a lot of people that are seasoned and understand patterns and how to fish for heavy fish. And there's guys that go out there and...
just winging it?
Exactly, man. So
catch two fish.
Worry about one local, couple local
you
dudes.
You got guys
maybe?
That, you know, are graying the beard after doing it for 20 years. And when it comes into their ballpark... you know, and it's time to go under the gun, you're going to have a hard time beating them because they got more time than you.
A lot more.
Yeah, that's it's tournament time is the difference. And it's totally different than regular time.
We traveled to Louisiana to fish for all this money, and it's just like we keep giving it to the same group of guys, and it's like this is crazy because
they live like, there, right?
Yeah, I mean, if let me fish there for 300 days a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to sound
salty.
Yeah, cocky or anything, but.
But you're a very good fisherman. I mean, what makes you better is time.
Let's show the love around the region, man. Florida's got
a
lot of fish.
Every championship is in Louisiana.
Hey, Texas got a lot of fish in it.
Texas does.
Coastal Carolina's got a lot of fish in it.
They need to start a trout tournament in Texas that rivals
I'm sure
redfish.
There is trout tournaments in Texas.
Right, but I mean, that gets the same size as redfish tournaments. The trout there in Texas are something that is maybe more impressive.
I think it's pretty impressive.
30-inch trout.
Well, they just had a massive freeze there a couple years ago when I was there on that big epic trip I was talking about. I didn't know what I was fishing, but I was having these dreams about fishing mangroves in Texas, and I bought a shirt from Howler Brothers, and there was like a roseate spoonbill dipping his bill into the root structure. Don't laugh. This is like true life.
You're making me visualize
it. I'm dreaming this bite, and all of a sudden this bite's happening, and I don't realize what I'm around, but I'm around these mangroves that I visualized they had just been burnt by snow in southern Texas, and it killed all their snook, or excuse me, there's snook there too. I saw them. They killed all their trout because all these big 30-inch, 36-inch trout, they went in the shipping channel. You know, the deep, consistent water, and the almighty industry of the fuel and oil and petroleum, whatever they do there on coastal Texas, is the boss. And they just rolled the freight tankers right down the shipping channel where all the fish were laid up.
Oh,
killed
shit.
Them all. So yeah, they lost like 80% of their trout population. I mean, I'm no scientist, but I've just heard from the locals the way it was.
I don't know. You might be. I've been listening to this here.
I don't know. The way you talk, you definitely sound good.
You might be a scientist.
But I found those mangroves. The bottom line is I found the mangroves. They just happen to be burnt by the climate change of snow.
Yeah, you said it was a lot like fishing here.
It was, man. The longitude and latitude lines, you know, like when you look at it on a global spectrum, if you jog across westerly to where we're at in, you know, Texas, everything, the grasses are the same, the baits are the same. There's pilchards there. You know,
I love pilchards.
So you look for the same stuff, right?
Bro, when I found clouds of pilchards on a pocketed sandbar and redfish charged them in a foot and a half of water,
you were like, I was like, dude,
watch out.
That's easy money.
Let me see how many I can catch.
That's easy money when you see that.
Yeah, but I feel like you always do that. You always kind of, when you're in a different area, you go and find places that you're used to fishing at home. What looks like home?
That's what makes it natural. You look at that and go, there should be fish.
Well,
right
we used
there.
To have
right.
long grass bars, but
right.
like we've lost our grass drastically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here in Tampa Bay,
which
yes.
is like a huge.
I definitely saw the bay struggle big time this summer, and you saw it again last summer, too. Like that.
Rest in peace, Tampa Bay.
A lot of the problem is Hula Bay, right out there in front of Hula Bay.
Yeah.
Used to be the staple for bay. That's where you went for over a decade.
Yeah.
Now, is it there?
So, I actually caught beautiful bait there for like 4 days in a row last week at kids' camp or the week before it ended. And, I mean, it was beautiful bait. You caught it what you needed in 2-3 throws.
Is
you're
it
done.
There now?
I have not been back.
But, I mean, it's not been consistent. Like
it's
it
not consistent there. But, like, even the bait came in way later this year, too. But it was all over the middle grounds. And then when we had that fry bait, all that shit come in, that shit's all over the place still.
I mean, when the habitat dries up, I mean, let's face it, mud bottom is not conducive for pilchards. They love that grass when it's dark to lay.
Yeah, yeah. We went on a little quick trip just to test a boat out, me and Graham, last week to the Hula Bay Flat, just running around. And we realized that the grass there
it's a different
covered,
kind of grass.
Well, it was covered by
snotgrass.
It's
being
undergrass.
It's being suffocated by an Asian invasive. It's like a mucus algae. Yeah.
It looks horrible.
It comes in on these freighter boats, and our municipalities are cool with it. It's like, whatever, you know. Bring the trash in on the offshore boats and let it muck up, you know, our beautiful waterways in exchange for the sunny days here in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. There's definitely.
Grass is a problem.
Well, grass is probably the main problem.
We are. Yeah. Water y'all know how I feel about grass. You know how I feel. What's been eating a lot of the grass? It's not the main issue, obviously. But I got a sticker on the fridge right there. It says "Save the grass, eat a manatee." Well, I don't want to eat a manatee, but they're eating a lot of the grass.
Have you ever had Burton manatee?
We spend $30 million a year in Florida to help the manatees out to eat our grass.
That aren't even from here.
No natural predators.
They're not from here.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different argument.
Then with the spill.
Spill killed us. But also, one of my big things I think in the bay that's really hurting the fish too, and we might have talked about this before, it's the dolphins, bro.
The porpoises
are if there's certain areas that you have five or six dolphins that live at that and know that when boats show up, they're going to catch fish and they know they're going to eat fish when they throw it back.
Very
and
smart mammal.
There's several spots in the bay like that.
Slightly lazy.
They come up for oxygen.
Well, I think that was the whole thing people are saying now, that predatory animals in general on the rise because the habitat for everything else is
sharks.
Sharks are a problem. Right,
alligators
now. A problem.
Alligators on the flats.
So they don't. All they need to survive is food, in somewhere. Really, they don't need grass, and they don't have. They're not structured around.
And we could talk about this, and I know everyone in here has fished this spot, and everyone has seen what this spot looks like, but what they did at Cypress and took away that entire mangrove line to help build that bridge, they messed up a lot of fish in that whole
thing. Destroyed cycle. It. I mean, they have the upper bay has not been kind between the sewage that comes from the north side of Pine Ellis County's infrastructure, and then, you know, hundreds of gallons seep in.
Just
now,
dumped another.
Now we're bringing in from
just
Riviera.
Just dumped another 10,000 gallons.
Wasn't that what Riviera Bay?
Some pee-pee and poo-poo sound.
Yeah, I just don't understand how that is. I drive down the road with an expired tag for all of 2 days. I get pulled over. We get tickets. It's a problem. We can literally ruin the one thing that brings millions, if not billions, of dollars here.
Oh, and that shit is okay.
Yeah, it all depends on.
There's no restoration project that I know of for the Upper Tampa Bay grass.
Oh, dude, the infrastructure has to be,
But I'll tell you what, addressed. When we wanted $4 or $5 billion for that friggin' bridge, we got it.
We're worried about manatees, dude.
The bridge.
Oklahoma
is a great.
We've been trying to save the river for a long time, eating them things.
We have a populace problem, and if there was anything that happened, we would have a problem getting everybody out of town. Just like case in point, what happened in Hawaii, which I don't know why the.
What you mean? Are you saying with the hurricane? Like if we got hit
exactly.
If we got exactly. If we've been already lucky where we dodged it. If we've got hit with a direct hurricane, this would be.
We would be listen. You'd have to have
be four, really bad.
You'd have to have 4-wheel drive. That's all I'm saying. And you better have some 35s or 38s.
Get you going. It's such a double edged sword though with everybody moving here. I mean, businesses flourish when more people are here, especially people from other places that maybe got a nest egg or a good chunk of money and are moving down here.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, you know, we sell boats for a living. So we're, you know, it's kind of weird to bitch about
it's
one
hard
thing.
To bitch about it when you sell boats for
yeah,
a living.
Yeah, to not be totally, you know.
Oh, yeah, we've always been part of the problem.
Yeah, so.
But we just know better now, and that comes with wisdom and time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is it becoming a recreational bay?
I think it was cool to cut fish.
It started becoming a recreational bay when you start the boat club and you do all those things. And then believe it or not, like the bait guys are a big problem too, because now you have every single person that probably don't even own a cast net will go and buy bait, and they're a Joe Schmo. They saw three people fishing this one spot when they were out one time in one spot where they never moved, and then they're going there. And they might be people that don't even follow the regulations and the rules.
You remember when throwing the net was like a rite of passage?
Yeah, like you had.
Now
like,
you can just limp in and be like, yo, here's my 50, black me out.
Dude, I didn't.
And capitalism's great, and I love getting the bait, but it's just watering down the product.
You know, I might be saving the grass too, though. You got a lot less. Cast net throws.
Nets,
I never knew how to throw a cast net until.
So you came to Tampa?
Until I met him.
Yeah.
That's a Pilchmaster. James over there. That's
you got to do it here.
And then
I
did not, you know, 7 years of
home
throwing
of the Chumbat, baby. The Chumbat era.
You got to do it. You got to do
like
it.
It's like the
here.
Asterisk in a baseball when the steroids were around.
Yeah.
Right. Like in Tampa Bay, it's the Chumbat era. Yeah. And now there's no era. So
well,
take that into account.
Something's got to get done.
I still think there's fish here. Just,
there is.
It's
there is.
Over.
Listen,
it's
don't get me wrong.
You know what?
I'm not
the fish
you.
Are here, but the fish are where? Where would the fish? If you had one guess, I'll give you one guess. Where would the fish be at?
Oh, they live in MacDill Air Force Base.
Exactly. Where you can't go, where people cannot go. I promise you, if FWC does some kind of like, all right, let's take some boats in here. Let's really see. There might
that,
be.
What, hey, what? All right, I hear
it's
you.
It's a perfect case study of how to keep.
MacDill has been around for a long time, and it's always been like that. For whenever I started fishing, we've always said, I'd love to go on MacDill.
I've seen you wade in there, bro.
I have. I have waded in there. You're absolutely right.
I caught. Went in on a boat.
Hey, hold
on. Give a shit.
I caught a couple people just goofing in there, bending on my fish. I had to run them out.
Bro, my boy said the other day.
I went past the poles a couple times. Okay. Woo-wee. You read the pole when you walk by it.
It's hard to read.
Gunfire range, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're trying to catch fish.
Those poles have so much pelican shit over them, you don't even know what they say.
I actually enjoy the smell now.
There's great fish there.
But it's always been like that, though.
I know, but why hasn't no one done it? You got these people sitting at the boat ramp. Hey, how's it going? How many people? What'd you catch? Don't sit at the boat ramp. Get volunteers out on boats and get in there and at least, like, say, oh, shit, we just saw, hey, there's 300 redfish in this cove. Okay, great. Now we know there's some fish there. And just get some of the information that – oh, we're worried about with the bay and what happened to Wheaton Island and Lizard and 4th Street. Yeah, fishing, you take it back 5 years ago, it's definitely
20 years
on a
ago.
Huge, huge decline. You could go catch 20, 30 dinks anytime you wanted in three different spots, and you're now, I'll talk to the captains that I fished with all summer, they were excited for 10 dinks on a day.
Didn't you guys fish today?
I did.
Tell me, talk to me.
I did.
I was
how
actually.
Was it today on,
go ahead, Bub. Bub had a good day for redfish.
I got on some good redfish. I got on some good looking redfish that were almost silver. No, it was about 24, 25s. And then the snook bite was decent.
Let's talk about this. Silver was it in a place species. You normally catch them, or was it a place they were not? 2 years ago, you didn't really see them there.
2 years ago, it was a snook spot, and you would catch an occasional redfish. I fished it 2 weeks ago and didn't catch a snook, caught 6 redfish. One back to back to back. Go back, tide wasn't right, struck out. Went back again today, tide was just finishing coming up, caught the tail end of the incoming, and they were in the trees, and they were on fire.
Ooh, they love the morning.
And I also, I had a line in the water fishing at 7:15. Cooler part of the day. My best bite was between 7 and 9.
You know why they love the bushes?
Why's that?
Because the porpoise can't eat them in there.
They can't. But that's that. And I told my clients today, I said, this is probably one of my better redfish days that I can go back and look in a while.
This is part of the topic.
Decade.
This is part of the topic we were going to go over is overfished, right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that is going on. You guys are selling a lot of boats. More power to West Coast.
First time buyers.
We love it. There's a lot more captains.
A lot more captains.
Hey,
well,
man.
there's some that retire. There's new guys are filling in. I don't know that there's a lot more.
Go make your money, folks.
I think that's the same.
I think a lot of the guys that I've seen come in have already gone pretty much out that have come on in the past 2-3 years. There's like two or three that are still here.
It's a hard knock life.
It's rough, dude. I mean.
Tip my cap to everybody's out there maintaining.
That's what you got to do.
I remember saying
strictly maintaining.
Not too long ago, the trout, like, where are the trout? They're not around. The last 2 days, I've been both the last 2 days and stroked them.
Yeah.
Some multiple over 20.
Ooh.
And it was good to see. And here, that's a good trout.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of little ones, a lot of small ones.
That's good.
And it's just been a frenzy. And yeah. I don't ever fish for trout. I don't really like to do it.
Oh, we know.
Yeah. I don't. But that's we're trying to catch other things. But that was the bycatch, the last 2 days.
Yeah, hey,
and we were catching good ones. I'm like, well, fuck
did
it, let's catch
what you're. Bait or cut bait?
Were you catching what you were trying
lures,
to catch,
bro?
Oh, throwing artificial.
Yeah, artificial. You're trying to catch ladyfish for tarpon, and I'm catching trout out the wazoo because the grass where I was at, from nowhere near Tampa, it's in Pinellas and south, was beautiful.
Mm.
Laid over, it's tall, it's
and there
beautiful.
Was fish in it,
and there's fish in it.
Shocker.
I couldn't keep. I was catching pinfish on lures.
And then they're eating
everything. Mango snapper were hitting my lures. Everything was hitting it. The same lure.
What lure were you throwing?
Just something white. Just had to be white.
You
4 inches in white.
On a flat that was alive.
Yowzers.
Imagine if the whole.
You were on a flat, there was a lot of water movement as well, right?
Imagine if the whole.
Tide's been cranking out. I was fishing for tarpon.
Were you on East Beach in Fort DeSoto?
I was not. I was Pinellas Point. Tell you right
now. Oh, Pinellas Point. That used to be a good show.
Yeah. A little runway. I learned some things with tarpon there. Really I've never good learned. Captain, I've never seen them there like that.
You talking about the cut, dog?
Easy on the trail. I ain't in the cut.
That cut. You put me on that cut years ago. That cut's fire. I've caught so many fish on that cut.
That is a great little
that's
cut.
That's the kids' camp special.
That was a kids' camp special. Damn right it is. When you're fresh out of St.
That's anybody from out of town special.
Hell yeah. Afternoon trips.
Especially in the summertime.
Listen, I'm not saying the place is completely devastated. We're just in a declining resource, and I think we collectively need to hold the right type of people accountable. And it's time. I know enough people that are, you know, somewhat good on the money side of things. They can fundraise. Now it's just, you know, activating.
Yeah, we need help.
I mean, I don't want to put my kid in the water and
I'm worried about that.
And possibly get some doo-doo and pee-pee in it.
Oh, bacteria is bad.
You know,
you won't catch me in the water in the bay in the summer.
It's not about fishing. It's about civilization enjoying. Yeah. Our coastline.
Yeah, if you got a cut on you, got to be careful just splashing water on you around here. Yeah,
come on, man. It's poo-poo water.
It's bad.
Not good, especially at 94 degrees last time I checked.
Yeah, it's not even comfortable to
94
get in.
Degree with spills.
Yeah.
Come on, man. How there's not something out all over. Everybody should be in
there. There is.
I've
had two clients that both got stuck by snook in the heat of the summertime that got, you know, the What's it called? The amoeba. It's almost like a MRSA.
Yeah, flesh eating
MRSA. Yeah, that gets into you, and they got to like rapidly keep you alive. So it's reality. I've seen it firsthand.
Every year, that is over there around the Howard Franklin and Cypress area.
Yeah,
and they just stay in the beach. The people go to that beach and they just hop in the water every time. They'll tell you bacteria don't get in the water.
Infrastructure. They're trying to improve it, but they're only hurting it by decreasing the flow to the bay. Like Parker used to bring up a good fly fishing friend of ours brings up a good point. Upper Tampa Bay has been suffocated by the lack of natural flow due to bridgeway traffic.
Yeah. And well, they tried to make it better by making that one little bridge
they failed.
There, and that was shit.
No, I mean, and the crazy part is there's not much that you can do about it now.
No,
there's no reversing it.
It's
but
set in stone. They're not.
I mean, can you imagine, though, just what – you take that bridge down, just – that bridge isn't there anymore. I don't know how –
There's no Courtney Campbell, you're saying.
There's no Courtney Campbell.
It's impossible for that.
I know, but do you think can you imagine the fire-ass red fishing that would be up there?
Yeah, I mean, it's still legendary if you know what you're doing.
I can tell you there's 20% – there's got to be
– It's still legendary if you know what you're doing.
Okay, well
– They're just sitting on the mud.
You got to – You gotta kind of go back to the old school way, and you gotta rethink what you're doing.
I haven't fished with bait in a long time either, so
it's the best thing ever.
I'm trying.
Y'all throwing artificials.
I'd like to get the boat out there in the wintertime, up there when there's no water up there. I think you could have a pretty good time up there still.
I mean, we talked about this captives for clean water.
Mm-hmm.
You said we need one in Tampa.
Oh, dude,
focusing on right on our area.
I'm. You know, SOS, I'm calling anybody that wants to help. I got a degree in political science. I'm really level in my thought process. I think I got solutions. We just need to, get a collective think tank together and tackle the problems that are in our urban areas. It's, central West Florida. You know, big urban impact.
I mean, we've had a lot of bad things happen.
It's not
in
fishing.
Such a small amount of time.
I don't care about fishing. I care about water quality.
Yeah.
I care about infrastructure problems.
Well, it seems like if you care about that, the fishing will fix itself.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes too much sense.
Yep.
I agree.
We just have to get the collective started.
And the base took a really bad hit, bro, in the last couple years.
Well, we on our east side, so. Allegedly, a lot of, a million years ago, the dinosaurs went down on a high piece of land in Florida, east of Bartow, right? So they strip mine and, get all the nutrients to provide for the fruit industry, the natural fertilizers that we sell. So on a global scale, we're number one next to a company in Africa. So if you can imagine our quota as a state to keep up with fruit demands, because in my personal opinion, the Green Grass Initiative, where everyone has to furt their lawns, the St. Augustine crap, all this, you know, true green this, true green that, bro. Like, we're poisoning our natural waterways so our neighbors don't get mad at us. All right? So...
It needs like, to, if you live on the water, it needs to be turf.
Thank you.
100%.
It needs 100%. To be turf, so that doesn't happen. Said. You, yeah. That's how you fix that problem.
Yeah. I vote aye.
But, and if you live on the water, you have the cheese to put turf.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that should that should be it.
Yep. And I know we do need fertilizer for planting situations. Farmers need it. It grows our... Thankfully, that's we're responsible for a lot of our food production because of that. Right there, globally, for everybody. So that means something.
Yeah.
All right. And when the citrus industry went down in Florida due to greening, which was a genetic disease that came in through, you know, took out our industry, we had to be propped up on something. So as much as I love Ron DeSantis,
FYI,
you know, he was the dude that said, hey, let the millions of gallons go. Like, empty the stacks, man. You know why? Because that's our cash crop. That sugar cane. So the sugar cane issue has been resolved federally and statewide through the Everglades, what's going on down there. So they're holding water, you know, redistributing it. They're not just letting all this crazy discharge happen. But the crazy discharge is happening up here on an urban level that's out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need the help. We need you guys.
Do you guys want me to do it?
I mean, I think someone's going to have to do it. And here's the thing. It's going to be a job.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know enough, but I'm always trying to learn more.
Well, I think at the end of the day, what you're trying, where your thought process is. And I mean, I know I want my kid to be able to enjoy the fishing. And I think that, like, you know, look, you know, it's going to be a while before you can throw a rod in the water and do that. But I mean, if we're on a decline, if there's nothing to actually start making it go back uphill,
you got to fight.
Then it's going to continue to decline.
It takes 10 to 20 years. You know,
you got to start now because it's going to be a battle for years because everybody who you're going against are all the big dogs. And it's like someone's got to stand up with some big cash. And
that's in this world of money. That's what it means. And honestly, the fundraising's, you know, I don't think going to be a problem. I know, you know, we all know enough people that are affected.
Fundraising, I think you're right. I think what you really need to do is figure out a way to make a difference politically so there's bigger penalties on some of these companies doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's right here in Tampa. But the problem is these companies, we all know how this works, these companies provide X amount of monies to our governments.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're walking a tightrope there.
Yeah.
But
you on that business.
If we don't do anything...
Should I run for mayor?
It's going to be good.
We lose our enterprise, which is our water.
Yeah, that's what Florida is.
Yeah, I mean, Bub.
If I run for mayor, does that possibly, you know?
You saw the look I gave you.
You could definitely help with some of the decisions, I'm sure.
Yeah, you could help.
Don't you need a foot in?
You don't
you guys
want that.
To take a break and sample some more?
Let's have a shot real quick.
Casamigos? Yeah.
You don't want that title, I promise.
Was kind enough. Yeah. James.
I want to pull that lime out first.
I don't want them digging up my skeletons in the closet.
Let's just get close.
Amigos.
There we go.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
It's delicious. So we talked about covered a lot of things. I know there's way more stuff we could have went into detail about, but
yeah, I want to ask you guys some questions.
Okay, please shoot.
Oh boy.
Oh, I like this.
I like this.
So
this usually doesn't happen.
I've been knowing these guys for a while, you know, so I can throw these questions at them. Met Bub on the Skyway jacking tarpon back in the day, many decades ago.
He was jacking them?
Yeah, I wasn't jacking them.
I bet he was.
But
nails only?
We were hammering a tarpon. That's how I learned how to tarpon fish.
That
first day we met, what happened? What I remember, you lost your cell phone, dropped in the water at Braden's house.
That's right. Carry on. That was back when cell phones weren't. I mean,
you had a Nextel chirp.
Nah, that bitch flipped.
You had a Nextel chirp, didn't you?
Yeah, it was like a, you know, crazy.
That's what you kids call it, Nextel chirp.
No, it was a.
I don't know.
Nextel is just a Nextel.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have
a walkie-talkie one.
It was a two-way. It was a two-way radio.
I love that shit.
So
I want to go back
Pasco,
to
them. Me too, bro.
Up in Pasco, if you have one of those, like a flip phone, Nextel two-way.
Yeah.
Like, and you had someone's digits, the beep beep. Like,
you could really screw with them.
It was, you were like,
oh, have the best ever. Yeah.
Well,
couldn't it do it these days.
It was, like a, status thing and how quick we all see how fads work. You know, things roll in, roll out.
Yeah.
And that was gone.
I wish.
But I do remember losing it and not caring one lick.
Yeah. But yeah, that was back. If you had to put a year on that, what year? What would you say? Was it 10 plus years?
That's 90.
No, dude, that was a.
Nextel's 2001?
02?
2001?
Yeah, that was a. I was in college, so that was in.
02, 04.
03, 05.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
20
yeah.
years.
20 years.
Good. Couldn't hide from a Nextel, bro.
Yeah, and James.
If you had it on, I knew you were listening because I heard. If it went through, I knew you heard it.
Yeah. That was a problem.
Hey, I know. Boop, boop, I know you hear me. I don't care if you're going through the grocery line, and then I start fucking with you. The Nextels were the best, bro.
Yeah, they were.
The best.
And James, been seeing him working in the community. I see Flats Mafia is growing. I want to, that was a huge party.
I think ours
was
that Flats party. Master time.
What's that?
When we started seeing each other and knowing who each other was.
Yeah, respecting one another, hanging fish on the board, getting paid for it.
One of the better fishing times of my life. Flash Masters was awesome.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, but those times will recycle. And now, Hallstatty, you know, met him in the guide scene. Now we're, you know, moving units, you know, through the bay.
Moving units. Getting
boats powered up, twins, singles, trips coming.
Yep.
So things are good. But as a whole, you know, this whole collective is, you know, I see it growing, man. I just want to tell you guys, man, it's like, mucho respect to everything you guys are doing, donating in the right directions, bringing up awareness in the right directions. It all starts from the bottom level. So I appreciate y'all having me.
We tried. Well, thanks for coming. Yep. We tried to do some things with the Guide Association.
We did.
Jason Prieto, we've done some things.
We did. Prieto's been good about that stuff. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's. We often talked about a Guides Association like Tampa, Southwest Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it
like
just
a, like a private, like a separate chapter.
We try. I think, yeah, we did talk about that at one time. I don't know. I think right now the best thing for everybody, including guides, and I'm not a guide, haven't been one for 5-6 years, but it is to err on the side of caution with what's going on in the bay. Yeah. I think everything will take care of itself if we can show improvements.
Bring awareness.
Have
people have like open some eyes.
Take one thing at a time. How do we restore grass in Tampa Bay? How do we do that? Because if you do that, the right grass, if you can do that, which means
they can actually plant it too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you can't live.
Like Graham said, if you don't have good water quality.
There's actually federal funds for replanting.
You got to stop the spills.
100%. And that goes back to what I was talking about before. How do we stop the spills? If it hurts them to give a shit about it, they'll stop doing it. Nobody likes paying fines for no money. But if it's a slap on the wrist type of situation, they can pay that until they're...
Yeah, but when you're talking about politics and stuff, they have more money to just throw at the problem.
Because the last thing you want to do is start fix. You don't want two things working against each other. You know, if everything stays the same and they're planting grass, but it's... I mean, what are we really
Water's bad, but then it's killing the grass, so what's the point?
All right, enough of this depressing stuff.
It is depressing. Shit is depressing.
Yeah, talk to me about what's on the horizon for you guys. I've always seen that you guys traveled cool places, and that's what it's all about, and I respect people that step out of their comfort zone. I don't really respect people that beat down the same.
Well, you've mentioned
path.
Texas.
Talk to me about you know, where you guys are headed. What are you guys doing?
Texas is something we've all want to do.
I got an insight in Texas.
We're also waiting on a couple things. Okay.
You got a guy kind of like the guy we had in.
No.
It's messed up. I know what he's talking about. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, no, we don't want another one of those deals.
I got a guy that's a friend, and he said. It's a $300 plane ticket. You can come here anytime.
Yeah.
And
I'll drive you guys.
I'm going to go. And we're gonna.
I don't want to drive.
Me you and Troy ride. Are going to go. And we're gonna scout it out.
Oh, you're going to scout it out.
Yeah. Make sure we like it. And then we'll figure it out after that. It's a longer drive.
Have you guys ever thought about getting into the Bahamian waters and going over there and doing a little.
Now
your vibe would, you know, I think we should do like.
Now that
I know a pilot. Yeah. If you guys are willing to fly in a twin prop plane, I know a guy that will drop us into Andros.
Well,
does it come with
here
parachutes?
Here we
and
go.
And does it have my weight size?
I knew it was going to that.
There's 6 seats in the plane. It's got a huge use below. It's, I mean, it can go what? Useful load. That's like,
well, I'm going to just tell you this. One of my favorite fishermen of all time, may he rest in peace.
That was a home.
Jose Wahebe passed away on one of those going into a crazy Jose. Extravagant. And the only people I know that did that was him, Ricky from La Bamba, and Selena.
Well, so, honestly, Kobe. one of my idols.
That was a helicopter. I'm talking about.
Hey, helicopters work.
One of my idols, too.
They go down Jose. All the time.
My but gosh. This thing, you know, was not home built, and we will not be flying in inclement weather. So.
Tenfold.
I want to go try and catch bonefish on fly down there. That's what I want
to
do.
I think you got to go down to the southern tip down there of Andros is where they live. Little town there.
I have no idea where it's called. Miami.
Congo Town.
Can you go to Miami? Is it legit?
Yeah, bro. Key Largo.
Congo Town, mate.
This guy will take you. T-Dub went with him. Alonzo.
Alonzo Sotillo.
You caught him on shrimp, though, didn't he?
You want the bonefish, boy? I'll take you to Fresh Creek, boy.
Hey, just so you know this, I have heard from three different people this year.
Alonzo knows what he's doing.
Bonefish have been caught at the Gandy Hot Water Runoff. Three bonefish. I've heard over the past.
Bonefish, permit are on Apollo Beach flat now. not right now. But bonefish have also been caught over there, too.
Yeah, and I'm crushing the parrotfish.
And in Homosassa.
Homosassa's been turning in some bonefish. Yeah,
it's nice to see that, you know, making a little way up.
Hurricane Ian's messing
bro, they're
shit
international,
up,
man.
They're fish are lost, bro.
I mean, when I was down in Key Largo, there was a damn orca peeping. Trying
you
to
see
sniff
that?
On people.
I had a buddy last week who was scalloping
trying to get a
in
seal.
Homosassa.
Oh, here we go. What?
Get a little sniff.
Kid saw a shark.
Yeah.
Guy got on the boat, looked at it. Tiger shark.
They're so calm in there.
Everything's kind of freaking out. We're seeing great whites a little closer now.
They've always been here.
The tiger shark thing on the flats of Homosassa, brother, that's been going on since I've been alive. Mm. And before that. And hey, for a big, fat, freaking fish, you'd be surprised that you won't even know their body. They are creepers.
Silent
These
hunters.
Are smaller ones. I'd rather mess with the bigger ones than the smaller ones.
Do you remember the one that we saw?
Yes, I do. I do. And that was bad. That was half the length of the boat, and that was a 24. That was a 12-foot shark.
That dude meant business, bro.
Yeah.
That shark, remember that video we put on YouTube? Was it El Señor? Remember that
one? Yeah, that was a hammerhead.
But hammerhead, that's what I meant. That video not on YouTube anymore?
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up. It's on there. You don't know what you're doing.
Oh, okay. Probably that's what it is. Bad. You know what the name of it is?
El Señor.
I knew it. El Señor.
So you guys are out on the twin prop plane?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go because
I would do it with
one
a parachute.
Sack of nuts.
With a parachute.
I do it with a parachute.
There's no parachute.
But here's the thing. You got to understand about planes. Hey,
what kind of parachute we need anyway?
Listen,
it's a big one. But guess what? When you land, you use it so you can be spotted.
Jump
have
on
you
his
ever
back.
Seen,
jump on his back.
Have you ever
listen,
seen
bro,
Castaway?
When you land.
If you had a parachute, you would have been gone.
Smaller planes
when you come on
float
a,
longer.
Yep, yep. Tell them about the stall speed.
Stall speed is super slow.
Why can't it be a seaplane so even if we do crash.
Well, my buddy Wayne's got a seaplane. Mr. Thomas, if you're listening.
This guy knows everybody. Yeah, I got one of those. Let me call somebody.
I'll tell you
what I'm saying is you want to go there for bonefish. We don't got to go there. We don't got to go
listen,
there
we'll bonefish. Go there spearfish.
We'll go there for whatever. I'm just saying. I'm just talking shit.
We'll go
Let's
there.
Let's go.
We'll go there and drink some Kaliks.
I love the Kaliks.
I wouldn't mind going to Cayman Brac either, or Little Cayman. Little Cayman for bonefish maybe.
Well, I'm game. Graham, we appreciate you coming and sitting down with us there, buddy.
Hey, man.
It's been a pleasure.
It's always a good time.
And when you talk fishing, you really truly
breaks it down.
You really you break it down that we have to tell you. You need to break it down for the people listening. Our people, you need to dumb that shit down. You were like at Algebra 2 honors. We need that shit like at 7th grade math. 7th grade math.
I will say this though. Hey, before
I'm with you though. I'm in
please,
the arts.
Please,
well.
Before, ask. I'll
before
break
we
it down.
Before we go, people can help out what you're gonna do and. Help the initiative out because this is going to cost some money, what you're wanting to do.
Oh, yeah, it is. We got to get a blueprint built.
But in the meantime, don't be afraid to hit you up for some fine quality products over at West Coast.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. If you guys need my recommendations.
He's the man over there.
He's like,
not just a salesman.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, basically.
He knows it all.
I'm in the intersection of vision and budget, and I'll find that X. That's all I got to say.
That's pretty much it. I mean, he literally, when somebody, I don't know what I'm looking for, first thing out of Graham's mouth, let's talk about your vision. And I'm like, you will not go into a boat dealership and have somebody tell you that. What's your vision and what does your freedom look like? Those are the two things that I'm. So, what's your freedom look like today, man? Like,
that's the sales. That's the sales pitch.
That's not a sales pitch. That's how he lives life. So.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, make sure you go see Graham at West Coast.
Just come in, stop by, chat.
Come by, chat. Just talk fishing with
red,
him.
You will feel smarter. Water. You want to talk about the water?
I got an open door policy. And if you guys want to come help,
look for the bucks and the red and the plaques.
Yep,
come bucks, on in. Bucks and plaques.
And and that's not Tampa Bay. That's Bambi.
Oh,
bucks.
Okay.
We're talking about antlers, huh?
Yeah. Oh, not Bambi.
That's a disrespectful way
to talk about those deer. And I apologize. I didn't really think about Bambi. I was just trying to be.
It's funny. Bambi's dad, but it's cool, man. We can roll on.
It's Bambi's dad. He shot out 5 Bambis.
Yeah, Bambi's alive. His dad's dead.
Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah,
charge it to the gameplay. All right, let's wrap it up.
Appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate everybody. Hopefully this thing keeps growing. Please share. We're going to do more of it. We're going to bring special guests.
Yeah, looking forward to what you're going to do, too, and your vision towards the waters.
I appreciate that, too, because it means a lot to me.
Graham for clean water.
Yeah.
Graham for clean water.
Two fingers.
I love it. Hey, we're out here, Flats Mafia Podcast, episode 2. Two fingers. Peace.